Hi, I'm Andrew Thorne with AARE, and we recently sold Tim and Jen's property in Rancho Bernardo for $26,000 over the asking price in just 3 days. Tim and Jen were referred to us by Pastor Henry and the Promise Church, and they partnered with AARE's Generous Giving Program. And this is an especially gratifying opportunity for me to be able to hand a check to Pastor Henry for over $4,000 to help the vision of the Promise Church and the great work that they're doing in saving the lost and developing passionate believers in Jesus. And the reason it's so gratifying, Pastor Henry, is that over 40 years ago,
yes,
you led me to the Lord.
Yes.
And since then, you have been a mentor and a great friend for me, and for which I'm eternally grateful.
And you were in real estate back then, 40 years ago.
That's right. I don't know how to do anything else. It's an honor to represent AARE, who pioneered this generous giving program. And this is going to be the first of many checks,
I believe that.
Because I believe that God blesses us so that,
yes,
we can bless others.
Yes.
So congratulations. So well, glad we can do this.
Andrew, thank you so much. I really appreciate this check, and we receive it, you know, from you guys. And we want to thank AARE for this generous program that they've got. It's an amazing program. I've never seen anything like this. And, you know, I just want to say, Andrew, you're a faithful man, that you are loyal. And when you do things, you do them well, excellently, and you always have. And I'm glad that we could have referred Tim and Jen to you, and I knew that you would do a good job, and I'm looking forward to you doing many other good jobs. Again, I want to thank you, and I want to thank AARE. I'd like to pray over this.
Thank you.
Could you just give us a moment? Could you take it with me? Father, I thank you for this gift that's been given to the Promise Church by Andrew and by the company AARE. Lord, they have tapped into something. They have tapped into generous giving, and Jesus, you said that if we give, it shall be given back to us again. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together. And Lord, they are generous givers. And I bless this company, and I ask you to prosper them and whatever they put their hand to. And I thank you, Lord, that you're prospering Andrew in many endeavors. And I thank you, Father, that you're opening doors for him and opportunities for him and for this company so they can continue being generous givers. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Once again, thank you so much. We appreciate it. Thank you, AARE. We really appreciate this program. You know, that video really showed our age. 40 years showed up on that video, brother. Why didn't you tell me to use makeup or something?
I just turned 45.
You just turned 45?
Yeah.
Help him, Lord.
Thank you.
Andrew, tell us about this program. Some of the folks in the church know about it. We've had it for some time now. I'm not sure how many months we've had it, but just tell us how it works.
The founder of our company, AARE, is a born-again Christian. He actually is like a pastor in our meetings. He preaches, and he's not ashamed of preaching the gospel and telling the people. In fact, everybody in our leadership are all believers. And he pioneered this program because he realized that God blesses those who bless others, and that's why he blesses us. And I am more and more every day I'm amazed at how good God is. And you know, there's no better associate, there's no better nonprofit. We partner with many nonprofits, but there's no greater nonprofit that does a greater job than Winning the Lost, right?
Yes.
And doing what you see on the wall here, developing passionate believers in Jesus. That's the job of the Promise Church, to develop us and to grow us up. We never arrive, and we have to stay humble. And I am so grateful for Pastor Henry and for the church. But now I'm going to ask you guys to be my bird dogs. Anytime, because the way this program works is that when somebody buys or sells or leases a property, whether it's commercial or residential, through one of these nonprofits, and specifically now the Promise Church, if you contact me and let me know this is what somebody's going to, my neighbor's going to sell, or my father, or my brother, or we're going to buy or sell a property, then we are able to give a donation of over 20% to the church, depending on what the amount is. So that's how it works. It's very simple. And so you can Google me, you can call me, ask me for my card. That's how it works.
That's simple. That's simple. Praise the Lord. So this morning we are doing number 3 in the Vision 2020 series. I really feel impressed this morning. There are people sitting here and listening on the streaming. And we just want to greet Jackie out there. She's watching out there. Jackie, we greet you. Woo-hoo! And everybody else who's listening on the streaming device. There are people who have very serious needs this morning, life-threatening needs. You're facing problems and challenges in your life, in the realm of finances, in the realm of health, in your family, whether it's with children or relatives, it doesn't matter. I'm consciously aware of that this morning. And I want you to know, God is aware. He knows about what you're facing. And he has given me a word to help you meet those needs. You see, we would like God just to be able to wave a magic wand. Just be able to stand before God and complain about our situation. And we expect that God, because he loves us, would just go, there you go, all taken care of. But God does not work that way. He doesn't work that way. You see, if he did, he could have saved the whole planet without using a man. But he used Jesus, his own son, together with the Holy Spirit to save the planet and to save us human beings. And now he gives us an opportunity to work together with him, as the song of the Lord came this morning, to be his hands, to be his feet, to be his voice. But he wants you to be his voice and his feet in your own life. Do not think that you should just leave it up to God to take care of your situation. We are busy discovering 7 principles that God has given to us, whereby he and us together can meet every single need or desire that we have in our life. And for some of us, we might have taken the beginning of the year, the Vision 2020, with a little laughter and not taken it as seriously as we should. But I really want you to dig in this morning. I really want you to start taking this seriously. God is trying to get the solution to you, but he needs you to work together with him. He wants to solve your financial problems. He also wants to bless you financially. He wants to give you that better job. He wants to get you out of debt. He wants you to live stress-free financially. How many would say amen to that? Amen. See, God wants you to have a home. How do I know that? He's building you a mansion in heaven. He's all about mansions. God is about doing better for you than you could ever imagine for yourself. He wants your business to prosper. He wants you out of debt free, to get out of debt. He wants you to have a better car than you've got. Amen. Only one person's got a jalopy here. Do you know the term jalopy? Okay. Or an abomination. But maybe it's healing for your physical body. That you need healing and deliverance. Maybe it's somebody in your family that is sick and suffering and your heart goes out to them. Maybe it's relationships. Our lives have been torn apart by relationships that have fallen apart, come undone, causing such pain and brokenheartedness, just tearing us apart. God wants to heal those things. He wants to bring relief to those things. Are you listening to me? So pay close attention. Pay close attention to what I'm trying to say to you. So we're going to go back. I'm going to give you 7 principles. The first principle
Number one, you have to have a clear-cut goal. You have to have a written, clear-cut goal. Romans 8 and 24 says this, and this hope is what saves us. But if we already have what we hope for, there's no need to keep on hoping. However, we hope for something we have not seen yet, and we patiently wait for it. When the scripture says we haven't seen it yet, it's talking about it hasn't manifested yet. We are patiently waiting for something. We've actually seen it with hope, but it hasn't manifested yet. See, when I say to you, you need to write down your goal is the hope you have in your own future. You're hoping for your own future. Now, I don't want you to confuse this with wishing, like wishing and hoping. That's not what I'm talking about. You see, if you're just wishing for something, it really doesn't matter if it happens or doesn't. You can live without a wish. But the goal that I'm talking about here, this written down goal, is something that really inspires you. When you think about it, just thinking about it inspires you, lifts your spirit, lifts your heart. Things change when you see that in your mind's eye and you look to the future. Let me give you a definition of depression. Quote Henry. Depression is seeing tomorrow the same as today when you need change. If you need change in life and all you can see in your future is what you have today, you're depressed. And you will be depressed. And you will never get out of that depression. Because your future is as bleak as your today. And you can't handle today. That's why you're depressed. You can't live with your today. You can't cope with your today. And you say, so why should I live tomorrow? Why not end it now? I can't cope. Listen to me. Listen to me. Don't play with depression. It's a killer. And it's satanic. And it's trying to take you out. And it's trying to stop you from receiving God's plan for your life. While you remain depressed, you cannot walk in God's plan for your life. You can tell I'm serious this morning. Because we're facing serious needs. And we need to know how to deal with them. Depression is a terrible thing. I suffered from depression. It's a terrible thing. And I only got out of it when I made the decision to believe God. I made the decision. I refuse to think this way. I refuse to allow these thoughts to dominate my mind. You can see your future as your present. You must have double vision. 2020 vision is perfect vision. Hindsight is perfect vision. But those who walk by faith have double vision. Because they see today and they see tomorrow. And their tomorrow is better than their today. Their tomorrow is not the same as today. And it's not worse. It's better. Everybody say better. Better. Say my tomorrow is better. See, I have a goal for this church. Written goal. Jack and I share, Cindy and I share the same goal. We believe that we have 300 passionate believers attending the promise. That's what we believe. So see, I'm not preaching for you guys here. I'm preaching for the empty seats. Because this place is filled. And so is the second service. In my mind, it's filled. Because I'm not moved by what I see. I'm moved by what I see. And I have a vision. And because we have 300 people that are passionate believers, we also have a new building. Obvious, isn't it? You see, your goal changes things. There's a domino effect with your goal. If you have a written down goal for a new home, you're moving, baby. You're getting off the street that you live on. You understand what I'm saying? You're moving. God is on the move and you're on the move. Thank God for that. Principle number two, you must have a burning desire. I really mean you must have a burning desire. If you do not have a burning desire, your goal will not happen. Lukewarm doesn't work. Even Jesus spits lukewarm out. You have to be on fire. Your goal must be burning inside of you. Red hot. Not just a wish. As again I say to you, a wish you can live without, but a burning desire you really, really, really want to have. So how badly do you want your goal to come to pass? Are you willing to make some sacrifices, as Cindy was saying today in the offering? And it was a great offering that she did. It was awesome to see the other side of being generous and introducing the sacrificial offering. I've heard people say give till it hurts, and I've said, no, if you give when it hurts, it doesn't work. But I understand what Cindy was saying when Abraham walked up with Isaac. That couldn't have been a happy trip. But he did it by faith. And he did it in obedience. Sometimes when we give, it's just in obedience. But when you believe in God for a goal to come to pass, are you willing to walk the mountain? Are you willing to walk the mountain? Because it'll cost you something. It might cost you getting up early in the morning. It might cost you staying up late at night. It might cost you not watching the Super Bowl. No, that's extreme. Record it. But you might have to put a little effort in to meditating in the promises that God has given you, the scriptures that say you can have your goal. You may have to spend some more time on it. You might have to spend some more time in prayer and seeking God and drawing close to Him. In our busy schedules that we have, especially here in California, it is so easy to become one of the millions of people traveling on the road and the freeway when it is so busy, everything is so busy, that God just doesn't have a place. Just don't have time for Him. Because when you get a little time, you go, oh God, I'm so tired. I just need some time for me. Just me time. And you might have to give up your me time to get your goal. Are you hearing me today? When you're meditating on those scriptures and praying over those scriptures for your goal, ask the Holy Spirit to renew your mind. You see, until your mind is renewed, you don't believe those scriptures. They have no power in your life. It's like reading any other book. But when your mind is renewed, the moment your mind is renewed to that scripture, there is a release of faith that happens to you. There's something that blows up inside of you, goes, yes, I can do that. I can have that in the name of Jesus. I believe that is so. And that's when you know that the trigger has been pulled, that your mind has been renewed to it, and you believe it. And you have it. If you're reading the scripture and it's just like blah, 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 stop. Stop it. Take one scripture and for the next hour, read that one scripture over and over and over and over and ask the Holy Spirit to renew your mind to that one scripture. Listen, it's only one scripture that will take only one scripture to bring to pass anything that you're standing on. It's not 100 scriptures. It's one scripture that you believe that your mind is renewed to. Okay? Ask it. Now, if you're still battling, in that point, you're still battling. Holy Spirit, I'm still struggling. Ask the Holy Spirit to pour out His oil and set you alight. Because your wood is wet. You understand what I'm saying? If you can't get fired up about a goal for yourself, your wood is wet. It's not for anybody else. Well, it might be for a family. Relative, somebody that may be sick or somebody else is going through problems. There are so many issues that we are facing in this world. So many issues. And many times people try to solve it through alcoholism or try and taking drugs or sleeping tablets or something else to try and solve the problems, hoping that when they wake up in the morning, it's going to be better. It's not going to be better. You're going to wake up with a hangover, or you're going to wake up addicted. Get addicted to the Word of God as the solution to what you're dealing with. Amen? So ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, pour out your oil. Set me alight. Let this thing become a burning vision and a burning desire in me. Point number three. Visions and dreams. Visions and dreams. Now, this is not the same as the written goal. All right, so don't confuse this with the written goal. This is a dream where you visualize the outcome. You literally visualize the outcome. So you begin to live in your dream. Your dream captivates you. It changes you. It motivates you. When this dream becomes a reality to you, it carries you. You literally are being carried by your dream. It's effortless. When you're living the dream, listen to me, it's effortless. It's a joy. It gets you out of bed early without you thinking it's early. It's a joy to do it. It's a joy to think about it. It's a joy to dream it. Now, this is a very, very important statement I'm going to make. Very, very important. You want to write this down. You dream from your imagination. You dream from your imagination. If you cannot imagine it, you can't have it. You cannot do anything that you haven't imagined. Do you know that all of you imagined coming to church this morning before you came? Do you know that? You thought about it maybe yesterday, maybe this morning. You thought about it. You imagined it. You even thought about maybe what you'd wear, which route you'd drive to get here. You imagined what it was going to be like in church. You actually thought the process through before you came. You didn't arrive in church and go, "What the heck am I doing here?" That's not the way it happened. Yeah? That's not the way it happened. So you imagined it. You imagined it. You know, this is why God took Abram outside of his tent at night and said, "Look up at the stars and count them if you can." Because that is what your children are going to, that's how many children you're going to have. Your offspring are going to look like this. He did two things. He gave him something physical to look at. And he gave him a dream. He had him look at the stars and then visualize what that would look like. He gave him a dream. And that's why I say write down your goal. It has to be written down. Stick it all over your house, in your car, everywhere. Amanda, bless her heart, wanted to help me because I wasn't sleeping past 2 o'clock in the morning. So when we came out of hospital this time, just 2 weeks ago, Amanda had a little more time at home. And so she was thinking about me, obviously, because everywhere in our home is a little sticker written like this that says, "I can sleep past 2 o'clock." On every light, every mirror, in the toilet, on my desk, on my computer, in the room that I sleep, are these little signs. And now I'm sleeping till 4 o'clock. What happened? Every time I went to shave or brush my teeth, I looked up and said, "I can sleep past 2 o'clock. Everywhere I went, I sat at my desk, "I can sleep past 2 o'clock. Do you understand what I'm telling you? You must write your goal down so that you see it when it's even subconscious to you. When you're not expecting it, you read it. "Oh, yeah, that's my goal. 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 I've got it." You have to get to a place where you get it. And you see, that's what Abraham, what happened to Abraham. And that's why he was able to have his children. Listen to Ephesians 3:20. "Now to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." One of my favorite scriptures. One of my favorite scriptures. But I tend to read the scripture by putting it all on God. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can even ask or think. He's able. And then I don't think about according to the power that's at work in me. I seemingly don't take responsibility. Now, the NIV, the Nelly Inspired Version, says this. Instead of the word think, it is the word imagine. So God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or imagine, according to the power that works within us. You see, honestly, I've come to understand that we limit God in our thinking and our imagination. The power is in us and he's able to do it, but we're limiting him by what we're asking and what we're thinking, what our imagination is, we limit him. Now, that word power is speaking about the Holy Spirit. It's not speaking about your faith. It's speaking about the Holy Spirit. I want you to know something. The Holy Spirit works together with your imagination for God to do exceedingly abundantly above. He can't do exceedingly abundantly above for you until you ask and imagine and work together with the Holy Spirit power in you. What happened? I hope you got that. Remember this, visions and dreams, I've told you now, a couple of weeks, visions and dreams are the language of the Holy Spirit. That's how he will communicate with you. I showed you so many scriptures, both Old and New Testament, to prove and to verify and confirm this. I'm going to go back to Acts 2 and verse 17. In the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Visions and dreams are the language of the Holy Spirit. It is essential that you develop an intimate relationship with this Holy Spirit so that you can hear what he's saying to you. So you can hear his instructions and receive his direction. I think the church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, is going to have to apologize to the Holy Spirit. Individually and corporately. Because we do not value the Holy Spirit as the Father and the Son does. Jesus said, you can blaspheme me and you can blaspheme the Father and you'll be forgiven. But if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, you won't be forgiven. He elevated the Holy Spirit to a new level. And he said, Jesus said, I'm going to go to the Father. And when I go, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And when he comes, the works that I do, you will do. And greater works than these, you will do. He said to his disciples, go and wait in Jerusalem until you get endued with power from on high. You see, Jesus gave the Holy Spirit to us to be the overseer of his church and to run the affairs of his church on the earth while he is seated in heaven. All the gifts, the nine gifts, all the healings, all the power in Jesus' life was because the Holy Spirit was upon him. The anointing was upon him. Every single gift you ever operate in is because the Holy Spirit is doing it. Are you hearing me? You hear me? This means the Holy Spirit is the senior pastor over this church. We are sub-pastors to him. He is the one in charge. The Holy Spirit is the captain of your ship, not you. We pray, Holy Spirit, have your way in our service. Have your way in our life. And then we get up and do our own thing. Are you hearing me? You see, we have to hear his voice. And he is speaking all the time to all of us. The problem is that many times we're tuned to another station. And he's talking and we're not hearing what he's saying. Jackie and I were talking yesterday. And I look over my life. And I think of the major mistakes that I've made. And every one of the major mistakes that I made was because I didn't follow the Holy Spirit. You know, we can't do it over. we can't do a mulligan for our life. I'm talking about mistakes that cost me everything. Not little mistakes like buying the wrong car. And I don't want to stand here and glorify my mistakes, make you feel sorry for me. But I want you to know something. I asked God, give me another chance. What about you? Do you need another chance? Then make the decision today. Holy Spirit, speak to me. I yield myself to you. Take over my life. Talk to me. Let your last words tonight, as you're closing your eyes, Holy Spirit, good night. Speak to me tonight in visions and dreams. You know, God revealed his dream and his desire for Israel. In this one scripture, everybody loves it, everybody knows it. You have a mug at home with it on it. Jeremiah 29:11. You have it standing somewhere in your house. You have a plaque hanging on your wall. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me, the spot you don't have, and come and pray to me. And I will listen to you when you seek me. You don't have this anyway. You will seek me with and find me when you seek me with your whole heart. The first part works. The second part, yeah, we'll take that by grace. Now, in this verse, God says, I have a plan for you. In this verse, he says, my plan is to prosper you. And that's not only financially. It's in every area of your life. If right now you're hurting financially, yes, God says he's going to prosper you. But what happens if you're hurting another area? What happens if there's relationship problems? What happens if your children are a problem? Giving you more money is not going to help the problem. Amen? But God wants to prosper you in every area of your life. And then he says, my plan is not to harm you, but to give you hope. God never, ever, ever, in any of his plans to harm you for any reason whatsoever. My plan is to give you a future. And he says, pray and seek God with all your heart. Now, for all my Bible school students and graduates who are saying, which covenant is this under? Who was speaking to who? Can I take this promise or can't I take this promise? Of course, you're good students. That's why you're thinking that. The only way we can take this promise is if we can find it confirmed in the New Testament. Right? Then we can go back and we can receive it. So we have actually many promises in the New Testament that reveal exactly the same thing. 3 John verse 2 is only one of it. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in every way, praying that you prosper in every way, and that your body may keep well, even as I know your soul keeps well and prospers. So there it is. So we can always be assured that God's plan and purposes for us is good. We see it here, and there's many others we can go and look at. But it's not only financial prosperity. God wants to prosper you in every single way. And then he wants your body to be whole and healthy and be healed if it's sick. That's his plan. Threefold blessing. And then he says that your soul prosperous. Now your soul is your will, your emotion, your mind. This is the realm that gets freaked out the part that gets under stress, right? The part that gets under pressure, that's your soul realm. That's your emotions. That's what's going on in your mind. Your mind is flashing, and the thoughts are so gripping you that you get pains in the stomach and depression. It's all coming out of the soul realm. But God said, I pray that your soul prospers. So prosperity is coming out of the depression. Prosperity is being calm and being at peace and not being fearful and stressed out. You hearing me? So if you're in that area, understand that's not the will of God for you to be there. And there's a way out. If you listen to what I'm saying, there's a way out. Oral Roberts, bless his name, bless his heart, said God is a good God. He made that famous. It's all over the world. God is a good God. We were really blessed to have both Hayne and Cindy attend Oral Roberts University. And we had him come and speak for us in our church. And I got to know him personally. I went to his home. He's a personal friend. Prayed over Jackie. So I had a good relationship with him and Evelyn before they went on to be with the Lord. Say this with me. God is a good God. Now you understand God is a good God. Please understand this. Do not be deceived, James says. Don't be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. What does it mean? It means God is always going to be a giver of good gifts. He is never going to gift something that hurts you or that is harmful. Things that hurt and harm don't come from him. According to Jesus in John 10:10, he said, I have come to give you abundant life, but the thief has come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. So if you're experiencing anything in your life that is killing or stealing or destroying, it didn't come from God. Understand that. It's not God's plan. It's not God's purposes. Did not come from him. Did not come from him. Came from the enemy. All right? And Hebrews 13:8 says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never, ever changes. And that is what James said. God is a giver of good gifts, and there's no shadow of turning him. He is never going to give you something that's going to hurt you or harm one of your family. You understand clearly? And that's the plan that he had for Israel. That's the plan that he has for you as well. Now, I want to show you the power of a Holy Spirit-inspired dream and vision. Because you really need to get this. And I'm going to use Jacob as an example when he worked for his uncle Laban. You know, he ran from his father, Isaac, and he went to work at his uncle's place. And he fell in love with Rachel, the youngest daughter, and he wanted to marry her. So he had no money to offer, so he offered to work 7 years without pay. That's committed to a dream and a vision and a goal. 7 years without pay. And then when 7 years was up, Uncle Laban, deceitful man that he was, tricked him and gave the eldest daughter Leah to him. I don't know how he didn't know. I don't know. But that's the way that they do things back there. Okay, they didn't know. So, he wakes up in the morning, finds he's got the wrong woman. He goes to the uncle. He says, what have you done? Uncle explains, you can't have the younger married before the elder. So he offers to work another 7 years for Rachel. 14 years he works for the second wife. Okay? 14 years. 14 years without pay, I'd say you're pretty poor now when you arrived with only a dress and a stick. As a man. So now he comes up with a deal. He's going to work with the uncle. He says, okay, what are we going to do? He's taking care of his sheep. He's taking care of his flocks and everything else. He said, I'll tell you what we do. Any one of your animals that is plain colored produces a spotted or speckled offspring, that will be my wages. And what we'll do is we'll take all of the spotted and speckled animals now, and we'll move them 3 days away. That will be my wages. And then if any plain animal, pure color animal, is found in my herd, then I would have been considered stolen. So I will only receive as wages the animals that come out spotted, striped, and speckled. And Laban looks at him and says, Laban thinks, he's been a herdsman for me for how long? And he knows, doesn't know. that plain cut animals don't give birth to spotted. He says, Jacob, you're a smart man. I think it's a great idea. Let's do this. So now, they move the animals away. Now I want to pick up the story I want to read to you. All right. In Genesis 30, verse 31, he says, don't give me anything, Jacob replied, but if you'll do this one thing for me, I will go tending your flocks and watching over them. Let me go through all your flock today and remove them, every speckled and spotted sheep, every dark-colored, I'll remove them. I've told you that story. Let's drop down to verse 37. Let's move along. Jacob, however, took fresh-cut branches from the popular almond and plane trees and made white stripes on them by peeling the bark and exposing the white inner wood of the branches. Then he placed the peeled branches in all the watering troughs so that the animals, would be directly in front of the flocks when they came to drink. And when the flocks were in heat and they came to drink, they would mate in front of the branches and they bore the young that were streaked or speckled or spotted. In this way, the man grew exceedingly prosperous and came to own large flocks and maidservants and men servants and camels and donkeys. The Bible says that when Jacob was working for Laban, that God prospered Laban because of it. And he grew very, very wealthy. He had massive amounts of herds. I'm going to show you that God gave Jacob this idea in a dream. I said to you, this is how God speaks to you. Gave it to him in a dream. Watch this. I want to drop down. Well, move ahead to chapter 31 and verse 10. Now, in breeding season, Jacob says, I once had a dream in which I looked up and saw the male goats mating with the flock that were streaked, speckled, spotted. The angel of God said to me in the dream, Jacob, I answered, here am I. He said, look up and see that all the male goats mating with the flock are streaked, speckled, and spotted. For I have seen all that Laban has been doing to you. Laban, tried to keep Jacob poor so Jacob would stay there. During the next 6 years, he changed his wages 10 times. Every time the animals would produce, then he would change his mind. Try to keep him poor. God gave a strategy. God gave a plan by the Holy Spirit in a dream to Jacob because he saw what Laban was doing to him. Listen carefully, church. Listen carefully. God sees what the devil is doing to you, and he's giving you a strategy and a plan to prosper you even though the devil is trying to keep you poor. Even though the devil is trying to keep you captive, God sees it. And right now, today, he's giving you a plan and a strategy to bring you out of it. You see, the Bible even says that the wealth of Laban moved across to Jacob. Jacob became the richest man in the east, not Laban. Because what happened is that all of Laban's flock started to produce spotted and speckled and striped and offspring, which doesn't happen. But how did it happen? How did it happen? He had a dream. In the dream, he saw spotted and speckled males, striped males, goats, and sheep, mating with regular colored ones. That didn't happen because all the spotted and speckled animals were taken away. There weren't any spotted and speckled animals here to mate. But the angel said, look up and see. See the goal. See the dream. See the vision. See these animals mating with them. You've got to see the spotted and speckled male mating. You've got to see them, even though they're not there. And then he produced the wood pieces, the sticks, branches, and he spotted and he striped them and he put it in front of the animals. So the animals got the vision as well. He had something physical that he put in front of the animals. When they were on heat, They saw spotted and speckled. That's what the animals saw. Spotted and speckled. And they gave birth to spotted and speckled. Because what you see, you give birth to. What are you seeing? What dream do you have? What is your goal? What are you seeing? What are you pregnant with? I want you to do something for me now. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to hear carefully what the Spirit of God is saying to you. I want you to see the cross of Jesus. And I want you to see that cross spotted and speckled and striped with the blood of Jesus. And I want you to see the stripes of Jesus as his blood was splattered onto the cross. That is the vision you need to have for whatever you are facing right now. You see, when Jacob peeled that stick and that branch, it was a type of the cross of Jesus. It was a piece of wood that had spots and speckles and stripes on it. And you must see that blood of Jesus on the cross for whatever need you have. You have to see it. Jacob had to see those animals. Even though they were not in front of him, he had to imagine. I need you to imagine today the cross of Jesus. Whatever you need, if it's healing for your body, if it's financial, you know that Jesus paid the price. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor so that you through his poverty might be made rich. And by his stripes, you were healed. You've got to see it. You were delivered. He is the deliverer. He is the deliverer. He is the deliverer. See the spotted, speckled cross for you. Imagine it. See it. And take it in the name of Jesus. Believe and you receive it. The devil is trying to keep you in bondage. He's trying to keep you poor. He's trying to keep you sick. He's trying to keep you bound up and on those drugs and on the alcohol and bound up in depression and bound up in the stress. But God has made a way because Jesus Christ is your peace today. And that cross is your deliverance. See the spotted, speckled cross of Jesus. When you are believing God for your goal, when you're believing God for your vision and your dream, look at your dream, look at your goal, and then look at the cross. See the cross. See it. See it. Imagine you sitting in front of it with the blood of Jesus dripping down at your feet. And say, Jesus, I receive what you did for me. I receive what you did for me. I receive my healing by that spotted and speckled cross. I see what you did for me. I receive the new job. I receive the promotion. I receive the deliverance from the drugs. I receive the deliverance from the mind blinding stress and anxiety that I've been going through and the depression I've been going through. Jesus, I see it. I see it now. I see what you did for me. And by the cross of Jesus and by your stripes, I have been healed. In Jesus' name.